The Musée d'Orsay. Narration, Katie Haig. Sound, Frédéric Cormier. Written by Emmanuel Iger. Edited by James Halling. Sitting on the banks of the River Seine, in the very heart of Paris, the Musée d'Orsay is known worldwide for its exceptional collection of Impressionist paintings. It hosts an impressive number of masterpieces, all of which contributed to a revolution in the world of painting in the later part of the 19th century. These works were absolutely scandalous at the time, and for some, they still obviously are, like the famous Origins of the World by Courbet. Seeing all of them together is a rocking aesthetic journey. This is the most well-known side of the Musée d'Orsay, but there is actually much more to it than that. First of all, it is not dedicated to the Impressionist style. It is not even a museum of paintings. The Musée d'Orsay is the museum of an entire era. It displays together any art form of any style pertaining to the end of the period of the Industrial Revolution. Thus, it provides a genuine feeling of time travel by recreating the context in which every single work of art has been produced, be it a sculpture, painting, photography, or decorative arts. This is a very bold decision indeed. The musée displays works that are now considered groundbreaking, just next to representatives of the official taste of the time, and history has not been so kind with these ones. This decision was itself considered scandalous at the time, and for many it still is. This makes the musée all the more suitable for these masterpieces that were designed to shock and cause the collapse of the dominant academic style. Its second distinctive feature is the building itself. No better setting could have been chosen for the musée. Its weirdly monumental architecture is absolutely typical of the fin de siècle style of the collections. This makes the building itself part of the works of art displayed inside the museum. Its history is also full of twists and surprises. All of this contributes to making the Musée d'Orsay one of the most alive and striking museums ever. This audiobook will provide you with all the necessary elements to fully appreciate a visit to the museum in the flesh. You can also use it as a guide with an artistic point of view in your discovery of one of the most fascinating periods in human history. The Industrial Revolution is said by historians to have been the third most important event in human history, along with the mastery of fire and the discovery of agriculture. The Musée d'Orsay is the best place to get an understanding of the violence with which art struggled to express the changes of this period. Chapter 1. Let's begin with a look at the building. It is very impressive and gives a very striking impression when one approaches the museum. The structure is massive and has the style of a master of illusions. It is a mix between industrial iron lattice and classical cut stone, yet still blends perfectly with its lavish surroundings. It is situated on the Quai d'Orsay, close to the Louvre, the Invalides, and in view of the Eiffel Tower. As such, it is part of a legendary landscape. The ground it sits on is full of tormented history, though, and as such, it is very representative of the Parisian identity. It is important to understand the violent struggles that give birth to such a place, to add depth to a visit that will focus on the following struggles of the artistic world, and to understand the often violent references of some of the works. The first building to stand in the place of the musée was built in 1810. The pier in front of which it stood was already known as the Quai d'Orsay in honour of its builder, Charles Boucher d'Orsay. Napoleon needed an administrative building there to house his Ministry of Foreign Relations, so it was called Palais d'Orsay for the sake of simplicity. Throughout most of the 19th century, this building housed the French Council of State and the Court of Auditors. But war came, and the building was destroyed. No enemy had set foot there, though. In 1848, Napoleon III had been democratically elected as President of France, but the Constitution did prevent him from running for a second term.